On the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch, Tuesday afternoon on 720 WGN. If it's Tuesday, that means John Najarian joins us from Najarian Family Offices. I think you're in New York City this morning or this afternoon. John, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Well, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Stephen.
I know it's a big earnings day and we're in the earnings season, but I want to ask you first about if there's any reflection of the healthcare premium story. You know, Paul Ryan and Donald Trump today saying that Obamacare is blowing up like a Samsung Galaxy Note 7. The premiums are going to go up 25% in some cases, and it's bad news for big proponents of Obamacare. Is it anything that's reflected on Wall Street with healthcare companies and such?
Well, there have been a bunch that have been bailing on it, as you know. There are a number like United Health and so forth, a number of companies that thought that this would be something that could be good for them, but only if they got enough scale, meaning they need enough healthy people paying for insurance that they're not going to need as they have sick people. And unfortunately, the majority of the folks that have been signing up for these exchanges and so forth have been people that have been health challenged, let's say.
Right.
And not the healthy people. So as any actuarial table would describe for folks, when you have people, you need a balance of an awful lot of healthy people with, you know, the 5 or 4% that are going to need some sort of extraordinary treatment. If you don't have that, and instead you have a majority of folks that have health issues, that's just going to bankrupt the system.
I mean,
not in bankruptcy state, but it's bad right now.
Yeah, there were threats of penalties for people who didn't sign up, but they just haven't. The heart's been a little too big to, I think, impose some of those penalties. So there's not been an incentive to sign up if you didn't want to.
Well, and you're right. And there have been the tax, as a business owner, I know this, that the 3.8% tax for Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, you pay it whether you pay it as a Medicare and as that, or whether you pay it as the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, it's 3.8% regardless, self-employed or otherwise. So if you're over a certain earnings, you're paying for it whether you need it or not, whether you have a Cadillac policy, as they call some of the higher-end policies, or just a bare-bones policy. So something needs to be done. Hopefully we do that in the near future.
All right, we had some earning reports come out today. I think Caterpillar, 3M, DuPont. General Motors earlier today, they did pretty well, did they not?
They did. They did. But the big one, of course, is going to be Apple.
Right, coming
Apple
later.
Apple makes more profit in a quarter than General Motors does in revenue for the year. That is going to be a really big deal, and obviously they have a tremendous driver, given you used the Samsung example already as far as Obamacare. Well, the Samsung example versus Apple is just as apropos, because this has been a significant driver for those new Google Pixel phones, as well as, of course, the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus.
Well, they're saying that they think Apple is going to report again a drop in iPhones for the quarter, correct?
Yes, they're predicting, I believe, a drop of about 14%.
Okay.
But they're still going to just print money, just as if they were the government and Janet Yellen. They're just going to be running those presses, because they make money, Stephen, as you know, from services, from all of their apps and so forth, whether it's iTunes or whether it's the Mac Store and so forth, or their actual bricks and mortar stores, the Apple stores. These are the highest volume, highest profit margin stores in America, higher than Tiffany's.
Well, and they're going to be selling a lot of headphones soon, too. I just got my new Apple 7 or my iPhone 7, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to buy new headphones or use the adapter that you want you to use, because they've got that different jack. So, yeah, no matter what they sell me, they always want to sell me more, and I end up being the patsy and pay for it.
Yeah, and it'll be good for a lot of the peripheral guys, too, whether it's Bang & Olufsen or JBL or whomever. There'll be a Bose. There'll be a lot of folks that benefit from the Bluetooth headphones that they'll be selling. They'll sell a lot less of the wired headphones going forward. That's not just my prediction. That's going to be a fact.
That's right.
That'll be borne out over the next several years.
Well, just quickly, I guess, Chipotle is going to announce as well, and, you know, we've talked about them from time to time. Is the news going to be bad for Chipotle?
I can't imagine that it's going to be good. A lot of these quick-serve restaurants have just not, you know, it's been very, very tough for them. Sonic today is down big, and I think there'll be more of that sort of report than you will see. Good reports.
What's up with Twitter? They were going to announce Thursday after the bell, and then they today or last night said they were going to change that to Thursday before the bell. Some people saying that means there are layoff comings or other sort of cuts like that. Do you have any idea?
Well, we are hearing that. We're hearing at least 300 layoffs, and sadly, you know, Twitter is a company that just burns through cash and has that issue with trolls, meaning people that are mean to other people on that service. They haven't addressed that, and they haven't addressed a revenue model that makes sense yet. So that's why they keep looking at being taken over at lower and lower prices.
Hey, I don't know if you saw a story that struck me as pretty cool. Anheuser-Busch announced this week that they've had their first shipment by self-driving trucks to deliver beer in Colorado. They did it, a 120-mile trip. A self-driving truck delivered beer through the mountains of Colorado, and they say this is sort of a sign of the future. I didn't think of it that way. I thought about, passengers or cars, people driving their own cars. I didn't think of it as far as commerce, but obviously that could be a huge market for these self-driving vehicles.
It will be, but it's one of the things. Last week I was talking with Larry Fink, the chairman of BlackRock, and one of the issues there is that there are some 3 million, mostly males, that are right now driving those cross-country trucks that are going to be losing jobs if and when this happens. We know it's a when, not if. So that's something that, again, I wish the presidential candidates could have addressed those sorts of things during this campaign, is how are they going to provide jobs, or what kind of sectors are these people going to be working in that are presently working in jobs that are going to be going the way of buggy whips?
Maybe I was going to say the next election's coal miner conversation.
Exactly. And, you know, these are decent paying jobs. These are jobs, not six figure, but they're, you know, the high five figure kind of jobs that people need. And now 3 million folks over the next 5 or 7 years will be losing those jobs because of automation.
John Najarian, great to talk to you again this Tuesday. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
You bet. That's John Najarian. You can follow him on Twitter at John Najarian from the Najarian Family Offices. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here. Thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand, or follow along on Facebook at Steve Bertrand Travel or Steve Bertrand on Books, or wherever you please. Andrew Herman is in the studio from DNA Info. Andrew follows me as any good friend would, and has already tweeted out. How are you?
Good. I'm very good.
All right, so we're going to talk. It's kind of a bar day today, because a little bit later we're going to be joined by the owners of Alive One bar on the north side. Actually, mm-hmm. They own a few. And, well, let's start on the south side with this bar, McNally, sort of an institution.
Right.
Along, is it on Western?
111th and Western in Morgan Park. It's a bar, a very famous neighborhood place. It's for sale, $750,000. The owners are retiring, and what you get is you get the bar, plus four apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the deal.
So let's buy it. So we'll each take an apartment. That'll leave two apartments.
I think too far south for me.
There's an office there, right?
Right. And they have this big marquee that they use to sort of generate neighborhood connections. They use, they use the marquee to, like, put the names of newborn babies on there, and marriages and people retiring.
And to rip on the Cubs.
And to rip on the Cubs.
Right.
Which they are continuing to do throughout the World Series.
Now, is it the fact that the Cubs have made the World Series? Is that what's sort of driving them out of business?
No, they're just retiring. It's a good business. I'm not saying they need to get out of business, but I have to hand it to them. Right? I mean, the whole town is Cubs crazy, and they are just sticking to their roots, and they're putting up things like "The fun starts now, go Indians" on there. The Cubs bandwagon does not stop here.
Good, good.
During when the Cubs were playing the Cardinals, if the Cardinals hit a home run, then you got a free beer.
Good for them.
So, you know, they know their neighborhood.
That's McNally's. And, you know, really, we were talking earlier today about how the White Sox are really getting short shrift. You know, people are talking about it's the first World Series in Chicago in 71 years and all of that stuff. So,
who knew the White Sox fans were so sensitive?
In this case, I feel a little bit for them. All right, let's go a little bit north, a little bit west to Midway Airport, where I used to drive up and down Cicero, and there, you know, just wasn't a lot there.
Scary.
Few hotels,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, our former hotels.
I don't know what they do there now. I don't want to know. But
right.
Things are dressing up. Restaurant Row, they're talking about.
Yeah, so Lou Malnati's announced they are opening at 6456 South Cicero, which is not too far from Midway Airport. It's on a former used car lot. And like you say, there's been a lot of growth around there. There's a Vibe Hotel coming online. That's at 6501 South Cicero. That's a 75-room hotel. And there's a whole bunch of hotels just south of the airport now, the Midway Hotel Center. They have like Courtyard and Hilton Garden and all those kind of things. And it's just all sort of dovetailing with this crazy growth of Midway Airport. And
is that what they're banking on? People going to and from the airport, stopping at these places?
Right. So, I mean, Midway, I was looking up some numbers before I came over here. 22 million passengers last year, 25th busiest airport in the country.
Wow.
Busier than San Diego and Portland and Dallas. And you know, it's about a third of what O'Hare is. But you've been around long enough to remember.
Busier than Dallas,
yeah.
Did you say? No kidding.
DFW, yes. They have more passengers than DFW. And one of the interesting things that's driving Midway is flights to Mexico. And they're not necessarily flights to tourist areas. It's people going back to Mexico to visit their relatives.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, not you and I going to Puerto Vallarta
right.
or something like that.
Right,
just
they're more interior
functional flights.
Right, right. And so, as you've been around a long time, and you remember how Midway at one point was really just like Dust Bowl. I mean, it was completely empty.
Some people might have called it Skidway.
That's right.
No. Okay, well, so that's good to see. And, you know, mm-hmm. Malnati's, we should have them in just because it's Malnati's, but they are, you know, becoming a Chicago institution and one that really affects the communities that they're in.
Yeah.
And good for them.
Right. So. I drive by one on Ogden Avenue in North Lawndale, not mm-hmm. a very wealthy area, and it's thrived there,
right,
and
right.
It really does have a connection to the neighborhood.
Good for them. Andrew Herman, good to see you again.
Okay.
Cubs in?
Three.
Three. Okay, we'll take that to the bank. This is the Business Lunch. Let's go five. Can we say five?
Five.
720 WGN. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Never get tired of hearing that song, and we're going to hear it after four more wins this baseball season, I should say. World Series starting tonight. Let's go up to the north side and to Wrigleyville Sports, talk a little bit about World Series souvenirs. Eric Castellucci is the marketing director for Wrigleyville Sports right there at Sheffield and Addison. Eric, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. Sounds kind of quiet there. Don't you mob? Don't you have thousands of people trying to get in, trying to steal T-shirts when you're not looking, things like that?
Oh, it's chaos. But, I actually found a nice little quiet corner to duck away.
Tell me about it, really. What's business like these days?
It's crazy. You know what? We've talked about this for many, many years and just what to expect. And you know what? After all those talks and all the pre-planning we've done over the last couple of years, we couldn't even begin to imagine what it's actually become.
Well, you know, and there you used to have competition down the street a little bit too, right? So it's a good year for you in that there's not mm-hmm. a lot of other stores right around there.
Correct. Yeah, it's played out in a couple of good ways for things like that.
I was joking, you know, Eric, not to take anything away from you, but if you want to be a marketing director for a store that sells Cubs clothing, first what you do is you get a team to go to the World Series, and then you wait for people to come to your store.
That's absolutely true. I mean, it makes my job from the marketing sense much easier when they win.
I would imagine that there are certain items that are hotter than others, right? What's selling really well?
So the locker room shirts have been selling great. The locker room cap that they wore the other night right after they won, that's sold out in under 24 hours. We've never seen anything like that, and that was just a limited release. So
no more of those coming in.
Correct. Yeah, that one, that exact one is gone. There is a very, very similar one that New Era also made, and that's one that we've been kind of getting in and pushing at the moment.
Right. What is the cleverest thing you're selling?
The cleverest would probably be, unfortunately, they don't make a lot of the clever stuff for the...
A lot of the clever stuff isn't licensed. Is that what you're telling me?
Sometimes, yeah. But we have like a dueling logo, like not a dueling logos, but it's along those lines, and it's just kind of a very creative, almost artsy-looking shirt.
All right, tell me a little bit about the process of all of this, because, you know, we've known for some time the Cubs have the best team in baseball, probably, that things were going to go well. And so when they won the National League Championship on Saturday night, I would imagine you had the gear ready to be sold, correct?
We did. We had some of the locker room hats and some of the locker room shirts, and I believe another shirt was already down at the store ready to go.
And so how does that work? You work with the suppliers, and they're like, you know, you are duty-bound not to sell these if they don't win, but if they do, then you're free to go.
For the most part, I think we do eat some of the cost on it, but, for the most part, we get in a smaller portion off the bat. They come in with big red tape all over them so that everyone knows don't even open it until right. That moment, and... and then they just go down there and they wait.
And so what's sold out? You said some of the caps are sold out. I think I looked online and the big W flag might be sold out. What else is gone?
Yeah, I believe just today we sold out of the short sleeve locker room shirt, which is unbelievable. I mean, usually that's one of the items you're usually stuck with, for a year after. And
right.
That's just been crazy. I think that might be it. A lot of it's still actually a pre-sale, and a bunch of it just showed up today.
Tell me that again, with a pre-sale?
A lot of it, some of it's still pre-sale stuff
okay.
that we have up there. So some of it, and some of the pre-sale stuff is actually almost already gone before it's even come in the door. So.
And are you sitting on World Series championship gear already?
Not at the moment. That usually comes in, I believe it's after, they have to be two games out from clinching, and then they start supplying us with some of that.
So tell me a little bit about the fans, because we've been, hearing a lot of us have lived it, this great joy, a great relief, or the emotion that we've been going through. I would imagine you've seen people come in through the years. Tell me about the people who are coming in these days. What's their emotion like?
People are excited. I mean, just that's, an obvious statement, but the one nice thing is that Cubs fans are always loyal. I mean, we always see people that they're excited for the team regardless, even when they had those tough years. And this year, people, it seems like they bought into it. They understand. They think this is actually the year. They're not just saying this is going to be the year.
Has this been a good year for you even before the playoffs started because of that?
Yeah, it's been pretty phenomenal. I mean, since last year, since they started, becoming playoff contenders last year, and it's just kind of flowed into this year and really ramped up since they made the playoffs.
I would think that a souvenir shop for a baseball team outside a baseball park would have some down months over the winter. I'm assuming you stay open year-round, correct?
We do. We actually do sell for the other Chicago teams as well. We usually around the holidays when it gets colder and there's no baseball going on, usually that's when our online sites kind of ramp up. So the store will be there and they're open, but they kind of down staff and they're more there just to just be there.
Right. And do you think that will be the case this year? Or are you expecting this? I mean, it's not going to be a World Series level, but you're probably going to have a pretty busy holiday season.
Yeah, we're definitely expecting that. And at this point, we're pretty much ready for this to just kind of flow right into the holidays when usually we get a couple month gap in there.
But not this year.
Not this year.
The other thing, though, when you talk about holidays, retail does, if they get their nut over the holiday season, then they're made for the year. You guys obviously are different because you're selling during the baseball season. But I would imagine that what you've done in the past 10 days or so is going to really help you for the coming months. What's business?
Yeah.
What have the numbers been like for you?
Actually, I haven't even had a chance to see the numbers. Just that's how busy we've been. But I do know as far as order-wise, it's got to be at least tenfold from a normal time of year.
You're up 10 times what you're up 10 times what you would be in a normal year.
I would say, yeah, order-wise, I'd say that's a pretty fair estimate.
Not too shabby. Kim Gordon's in the newsroom with a question.
Hey, Eric, we were just wondering, what is the hottest-selling jersey right now, and if you expect the Kyle Schwarber jerseys to pick up since he's back on the, you know, back on the roster?
Yeah, so Baez has just been a staple right through the playoffs. I mean, with, you know, with his awesome postseason so far, it's been real tough keeping Baez jerseys in stock. But, yeah, I'd say he's been the most popular player even going into the World Series here. Bryant and Rizzo are always, you know, fan favorites. Schwarber, we really haven't seen many sales go up yet, but I'm sure if he gets a chance to step right out on the field, it's been a...
Yeah, I would say about 9:30 tonight, there's going to be a big rush because that's when he's going to hit his first World Series home run.
There we go.
Do you have Schwarber stuff on stock?
We do. We have a little bit of it just kind of left over, but not as much. Not as much as we would have had going into the postseason.
You know what, Eric? You every way you turn, it's just a good year because you thought maybe you're going to be stuck with all this Schwarber stuff after he goes out in April. Here he comes back. He's going to be the hottest seller in October.
Right, yeah. you just never know in this business.
All right, so you what are you open late at night? Or, I mean, if people get the urge after a win to go buy, are you there? Or then you rely on online?
Nope, we actually do stay open for, especially for the World Series, we'll be open for every game. And I think we're even staying open for the any road games. We'll be open till the end of the game and probably about a half hour to an hour after, just depending on what traffic's looking like coming in the store.
Well, the store opened, I think, what, in 1990, and you've been waiting then for 26 years for something like this, and here you are. Enjoy it, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very exciting times.
Eric Castellucci from Wrigleyville Sports. Nice to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. You're listening to Eric. One more question.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to have the World Series gear after they win two, right? Do you have friends and
Correct.
Family saying, hey, can you set aside a hat for me? Can you set aside? Do you?
We do. We get that quite Good. A bit. You know, people, I mean, we can't give out anything even before, you know, no matter
how
close they are. Nothing can
go out. Well, Eric, I ask because I just want you to know I wear a large.
We'll keep that in mind.
I'll see ya. Look, enjoy it. Have a good time.
Thank you.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wind Trust Business Lunch. All right. You know, we started earlier in the program talking to Andrew Herman about McNally's, a family-owned bar on the South Side, a pro-White Sox sort of anti-Cub bar on the South Side. And the family's owned it for, I think, around 30 years or so, 25 years, and they are retiring. Well, let's go to the North Side now. And the Live One, the bar in Lincoln Park, one of the guys behind that, David Halpern, is in the studio. And, well, David, you're celebrating 20 years in business, right? Welcome to the Business Lunch.
Well, thanks for having me.
You don't look like a guy who would be a typical bar owner. How did this happen?
That's a good question.
I don't know what a typical bar owner looks like.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a compliment.
Well, I read your story, and the idea was you didn't fall into it. You just kind of happened into it.
We really had the concept for a Live One more than anything else. My partner and I had worked in the Hamptons in hospitality and kind of threw around the idea. And then once we thought of the concept, we were like, this is a great idea for a bar. It's all live recorded music in our jukebox. So that was the driving force to open up a place with an all live jukebox.
So the concept is that when you put some money in the jukebox, you're going to hear a live
concert.
Right.
Correct.
And 20 years?
20 years.
Pretty amazing.
Yes.
What was the, I mean, when did you know that it was going to make it?
I think after year two, we were like, okay, we're on to something. People were taken to it, the concept and the vibe and
right.
the low-key staff.
How do you create a vibe for a place? How do you create an atmosphere? I mean, is it something you can design or does it sort of just have to happen?
You know, we talk about that all the time. It's everything. You got to have the design. You got to have a great staff. You got to have decor. You got to have a great product,
right.
good list.
People think
list.
They're just walking into a bar.
Correct.
Right? They don't know all the thought that might go into what brought them there.
Yeah, many people don't really know or can't put their thumb on what they love about their favorite bar.
Right.
it just all has to work.
Right. It just has to be there.
Yeah, it has to work.
So you're at Schubert and Halstead.
Correct.
Not too far from Wrigley Field. I know you get some musicians in there from time to time.
Yeah. We actually, good tie-in story to the mania that's going on.
Right. The business lunch mania?
The business lunch mania. Right. we won't talk about that Southside bar, no. But... Eddie Vedder seems to be getting a ton of publicity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, let me clarify, he's a diehard fan. He showed up one day after singing the seventh inning stretch. A buddy of mine, Mike Cam, brought him to a live one, said, uh-huh. You love this bar, come with me. And Eddie went with him.
Sweet.
And he showed up with Mark Grace's bat and batting helmet. He had a jewel bag full of Polaroids of him with the Cubs players on the field. He was a kid in a candy store.
Well, that's what I like about the story, the fact that he was excited to show off pictures he had.
Like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah. So a live one comes along, does well. A couple years later, you realize it's going to work. And then you start expanding. How many bars now are you responsible for?
Oh, yeah. we have 16 between Chicago and Cincinnati.
Chicago first and then Cincinnati?
Correct.
That's because you're Miami of Ohio sort of clan?
Yes, that was the network that we have with the Miami of Ohio connection.
Which city is easier to work with?
They're both fairly difficult in their own ways, frankly.
Right?
Yeah.
How are they different?
Well, Chicago, you know, again, for us, it's we're a small fish in a big pond.
Right.
In Cincinnati, when you have a bunch of places, you kind of become more of a bigger fish. So
right.
Deals will come to you quicker, where in Chicago, you really got to seek it out, and there's a lot of competition and a lot of great operators. And so
we're talking to David Halperin, one of the guys behind Alive One. Celebrating its 20th anniversary. Tell me, Estelle's, Easy Bar, what are the other bars?
Yeah, Estelle's, Easy Bar, The Owl. We just opened a place called Remedy.
That's the first one you built from the ground up, right?
Correct.
How different was that?
Very different. We usually just took existing bars and kind of put our spin on them, and this was a complete build from scratch.
How many of your bars are 4 a.m. bars?
We have 3 here in Chicago.
There was a story a couple weeks ago about a bar that closed in Rogers Park, and they got into a little trouble and all with the extra hours, but they said they wouldn't stay open without them because those extra hours until 4 a.m. are so profitable. Is that what you found as well?
They're a big component to our business, but
yeah.
we strive to be an anytime bar. We have busy hours. We don't just rely on the 2 a.m., plus, you know, till 4 a.m. It's all night. And as we've been doing this a long time, when we opened Estelle's, it was like, oh, we're just going to be a late night bar. And we kind of pigeonholed ourselves that way. And we've worked our way out of that to having great food and driving people there all the time. So when we did The Owl and we did Remedy, we had a much different focus of let's do things to have people want to come there early.
David Halperin behind a live one. And the next time Eddie Vedder comes in, tell him I said hello.
I would love to.
It's business lunch on 720 WGN.